Now, maybe, maybe it might not be the biggest event that's happening this week, but on Thursday, it's my birthday. So I'm looking for ideas. So, for 1 minute, share with those near to you, what is the greatest gift that you have ever been given? 1 minute, and then I might ask for some ideas. What is the greatest gift that you have ever been given? Sounds like there have been some good gifts. I can hear some good conversations happening. Does anybody want to share briefly what the greatest gift that they have ever been given is? Mary, you look like you're ready to share. Your husband. Oh, your husband marrying you was the greatest gift that you were ever given. Wonderful. Wonderful. I don't think we could top that, really, can we? Has anyone else got a gift, a good gift that they have been given that they want to share? Your children? Absolutely, yeah. Really good. Any others?
Confirmation.
Confirmation? Very good. Yeah, confirmation. Fantastic. These are very good. Well, today, as we celebrate Pentecost, we remember Pentecost as the day that the church received a wonderful gift from God, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And actually, just like children and just like a marriage, that's a gift that changed the life of the church forever, a gift that changed everything. 11 days ago, on Ascension Day, and we heard in our reading from the Gospel of John, Jesus promised his disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit and that they would be helped by the Holy Spirit to live for him and to speak for him in this world. And now, on the day of Pentecost, we see that promise being fulfilled as the Holy Spirit is given to the church. So this morning, I want us to think about two things. The first is that Jesus is trustworthy and true, that what Jesus says happens and that he can be trusted to keep his promises. And then secondly, I want to think about what difference does it make to the life of the believers, the church, to be given that gift of the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit change things? Well, first of all, let's think about Jesus keeping his promises. I started looking through the Gospels and started counting how many times Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will be given to the disciples. And when I got to 20, and I hadn't got very far through the Gospels, I stopped counting because I thought, I'm going to run out of time. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit more than 20 times in the Gospels, at least. Certainly there are more. But Jesus is serious about this promise that he's making, that he will give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those disciples, but they have to wait. They do have to wait. In fact, the final thing that he says is wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the good gift of the Holy Spirit to his disciples. I wonder how you find waiting for something. Even if you know that it's coming, waiting can be very difficult, can't it? It can be very challenging. I know that I find waiting difficult. I want things to happen now. And we live in a world where we're used to things happening very quickly. But Jesus promises the Holy Spirit and tells his disciples to wait. And they do wait. They do wait for the Holy Spirit. They are obedient in the waiting. I wonder if they found it easy or difficult. To some level, I think it probably doesn't matter whether they found it easy or difficult. What matters is they did it. They did wait. Because what makes waiting easier is when you really know that the person who has told you to wait is trustworthy and true. So they did wait, and they did find that Jesus was trustworthy and true, and they received the gift that he had promised on the day of Pentecost. And it's a gift not just for some of them, but for all of them who were gathered there. It says the Holy Spirit was poured out on all of them. And that means all of them each as individuals, but also all of them together as a church, as a community together. It's a gift not just for the special ones, but for all who have gathered in Jesus' name to follow him. Nobody was left out. And I think that that is a huge encouragement to us in the church today, isn't it? Nobody who Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to was left out when that gift was given. So, that same promise is true for us today. He says, all who ask and call on his name will be given the gift of the Holy Spirit if they ask for it. So that promise is the same as it ever was, as true as it ever was, that if we ask, we will receive that gift. We might need to wait, but we will receive it because Jesus is trustworthy and true. So what difference does the Holy Spirit make in the life of the church, in the life of the believers, as the church receives its first birthday gift? Well, the gift of the Holy Spirit truly is the greatest gift that could be given, because it does change everything for the better for the church forever, because the disciples are equipped to live and to speak for Jesus in the world. Now, it says that the Holy Spirit came like a rushing wind over the place where the disciples were gathered. So I've got a couple of things that might help us to think about what the Holy Spirit is like and what the Holy Spirit does in the lives of the believers as they gather there. I wonder if you still got your shakers, whether we might make a sound like a rushing wind together. Give them a shake. It's quite noisy, isn't it? You can hear it, but you can't feel it at the moment. But I brought something from my house to help us to feel the wind of the Holy Spirit. I've got my leaf blower here from home. So I thought I might just give you a little blast, see if you can feel what it might feel like for the Holy Spirit. Don't worry. Nobody's wearing their hats today. Can you feel it at the back? Yeah. You can't see it, though, can you? You can't see it. When I turn it, you can hear it, certainly. Shall I give the choir a little blast? Oh, no. Should have avoided the communion table there. Don't worry. Nothing that can't be put back in a minute. Well, do you know, actually, one of the things I wanted to remind us of in that is that the Holy Spirit changes things and moves things. We can't see the Holy Spirit. We can't see the wind, but actually we can see the effect of it, can't we? We can feel it and we can see it when things move like they did here. It wasn't by some power other than that leaf blower. It was just by the air that was being moved from the leaf blower. It changed things. It knocked over the hand sanitizer. It moved things. My papers for later. Air, if you were on your way into church early, you might have seen a bouncy castle, a deflated bouncy castle. When the air fills that, the shape of it will be changed. And when the Holy Spirit fills the disciples, they are completely transformed. You can't see the air, but you know when it's there. I don't know if you've ever tried bouncing on a deflated bouncy castle, but it's not very fun, I can tell you that. And actually, if you do it for long enough, you're probably going to get quite badly hurt. The disciples, when they're filled, are transformed. The shape of their life changes forever. One of the things that the Holy Spirit enables them to do is to speak, to communicate for Jesus in the world. I wonder if any of you have in your pockets one of these, a mobile phone or in a bag somewhere. We use these to communicate with one another, but they only work properly when they're charged up, don't they? And actually, if you don't plug it in and it has no power, everything else about the phone can be the same, but it will be absolutely useless for communicating with. It's the power inside the phone that makes it work. Similarly, the Holy Spirit inside the disciples given to them is what makes their communication for Jesus effective. And it says in our reading, doesn't it, that as they spoke, everybody was amazed at their words because they understood in their own language what was being said. They had been given the gift of tongues. They'd been given a gift which was enabling them to speak meaningfully to people who spoke different languages. But our communication can be made effective by the Holy Spirit, whether that's by the gift of tongues or whether it's just by the gift of our words being the right words to somebody at the right time. As we communicate for Jesus, let's not try and use a flat mobile phone, as it were. Let's not try and communicate with something that doesn't have any power. Let's use the power that is in us, the Holy Spirit, to help us as we speak for Jesus. So the Holy Spirit enables their words to be used, and we see that particularly in our reading today. But the other thing that the Holy Spirit enables, and we see as we move through the book of Acts, is we see that the disciples are equipped to live for Jesus in this world as well. Jesus says that he is the light of the world, and he calls his disciples to be lights in the world as well. I brought something else from home. Not quite as dangerous, but the light here, you can see it shining on the screen, a torch here, only works when the batteries are in the torch and when those batteries are filled with electrical power. If we tried to use this torch in the dark without power inside it, it wouldn't work. It would look exactly the same on the outside. In fact, even the batteries look exactly the same, don't they, when they're flat? But it would not work. If we're going to live lives of light in the world, we need batteries that are filled with power. Because with batteries that are filled with power, even the darkest darkness can't stay dark when you shine the light into it, can it? But it's the power that's in the torch that makes it work. We couldn't see the air moving from this. We could see the effect of it, but we couldn't see the air. We can't see the power inside the torch. We can't see the air inside the bouncy castle. We can't know whether there's power inside our mobile phone. But if it's not there, it makes all the difference, doesn't it? We can try in our own power to live and to speak for Jesus in the world. We can try and do it without the Holy Spirit, but actually, just like bouncing on a bouncy castle with no air in it, it's not very fun, it's pretty exhausting, and we get hurt, actually, if we try to do that without the Holy Spirit. But that's because Jesus never wanted us to do it without the Holy Spirit. He never wanted us to try and live for him and speak for him in the world without the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's why he promised it and reminded the disciples so many times that he was going to equip them to live by his power. He never intended us to go it alone. He never intended us to do it in our own strength, but by his strength. I wonder maybe whether Jesus reminded the disciples or promised the disciples the gift of the Holy Spirit so many times in the Gospels because they're so tempted, as we are, to try to do it in their own strength, to try to go it alone, to really put a lot of effort in because it's the right thing to do. Yes, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't try hard, but however hard we try to bounce on the bouncy castle, if it's got no air in it, it's not going to work as well as it could, and it's certainly not going to be the joyful experience that it should be. But bouncing on the inflated bouncy castle is a joy, actually. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we find that living and speaking for Jesus, shining for him in the world, is possible and is a joy, actually. So this Pentecost, as we remember that gift that God gave to the first disciples and promises to us too as his church today, let's ask God today for a fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit that we might be equipped to live and speak for him in this world, that we might be given all the power that we need to shine and to communicate and to change things, and that our lives might be changed forever by that gift that he gives. So let me pray for us as we gather this morning. Lord, you promised the gift of your Holy Spirit to your disciples, to help them to live for you and to speak for you in this world. Today, help us, your church, to receive your good gift of the Holy Spirit, that we too might be equipped with power to live and speak for you. Send your Holy Spirit on each and all of us today. In Jesus' name, amen.